You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That two-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps, with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joe.
Awesome. Uh-oh. Good to have you with us this morning.
Are you there, Charles?
Charles, are you there? I believe we may have lost Charles.
You hear me?
He's there now. Hey. Charles, there he is. Hello.
I'm good.
How you guys? We're good, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, we've talked with you before about like the Jets' plan with Zach Wilson to have Rodgers come in, and whether Rodgers plays 1 year or 2 year, maybe eventually he's handing the reins back to Zach Wilson. Well, that's happened much quicker than anybody anticipated with Rodgers going down the other night. How do you think that this development with Rodgers influences the plan with Zach Wilson moving forward, and obviously what your thoughts on, you know, just the impact of the Rodgers injury to this team?
You don't think just having Rodgers play four plays was really in the cards?
It's worth it,
right? For the Jets? You think it was a little short? Yeah, I mean, geez, I don't even know how to describe the devastation. You know, I think the sheer okay, so let's dial it back a little bit to the trade, and the Jets are bickering back and forth with the Green Bay Packers. I'm talking to somebody with the Jets, and they say to me, they're like, you know, we're talking about sticking points, and they're like, you know, the Jets want this first-round pick, or excuse me, the Packers want this first-round pick free and clear in 2024, no qualifiers, just straight up. And literally the phrase that was used, or the sentence that was said, was there's no way we're going to give up a first round pick free and clear. There's got to be qualifiers on it, because what if Aaron tears his ACL in game one and is done for the season? And I remember when that was said to me, and I thought, like, come on, like, in what world could that ever happen? I'm like, use the worst luck of any team on the face of the earth for that to happen. And then it ends up being an Achilles, you know, right out of the gate. I snake bitten isn't even the right word. I mean, you run over by a semi truck is probably more of a phrase for how this went for the Jets. It's pretty much as awful as it could get. And I think right now, quarterback wise, you know, everyone's written them off. The one thing I will say about the Jets that's interesting is, it's a better team overall now than it was at any point in 2022. The defense is exponentially better from an experience standpoint. I think the talent level is better. The depth is better. Their front four is deep. I mean, there's an ability to rotate with those guys. I think offensively, having gotten Dalvin Cook in the door, weirdly enough, plays into their hands if they were to lose Aaron Rodgers, because it's a team that, as it stands, without adding to the quarterback room, you can run the football consistently. You can play. I mean, they may have the nastiest defense in the NFL. I know everyone wants to kill, you know, Josh Allen for how he played, and he deserves it. But when you watch the game again and you see the consistent pressure he was under, a lot of that had to do with what the Jets were doing defensively. I mean, they forced him into a lot of the bad decisions he was making. He was under pressure the entire game. So if you're looking at them and saying, is there any team in history that right now, today, could throw it back to, you know, when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl, when the, you know, when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, it's this team. They can run the football. They can play defense in a way that disrupts teams consistently. They can look at Zach Wilson and say, hey, guess what? If you only have to throw it 20 times a game, we can actually win games like this if this is how this team is ultimately constructed. So I don't think that they're, as Robert Saleh said, I don't understand why, you know, people are writing this obituary about us right now. I get why he says that, because that's how talented this team is across the board. And crazy enough, if they decide, hey, we're just going to be a running football team, the offensive line that is clearly a liability, it plays into their hands. If you looked at that offensive line and said, hey, guess what? You don't got a pass block anymore. Don't worry about the cut blocks. Just maul the person in front of you. We're going to run the football. You know, we're going to between Dalvin and Breece Hall, we're going to put 40 touches running and receiving between these two guys. Let's figure out how to win that way. It would make that offensive line instantaneously better. In terms of the quarterback, I think right now what they would like to add to that room, you know, people talk about Stafford. Stafford's untradeable. I mean, the cap acceleration for Stafford is insane. The Rams don't want to deal him anyway. You know, they beat the Seahawks coming out. I think they feel great about, you know, that first week and how the offense looked. Matt, you know, to Tom Brady, come on. He's not going to go play for the Jets. Why are people talking about this? Like, it's possible. It's just a joke. And, you know, even, you know, from the standpoint of the Jets, I think they're sitting there going, we're not trying to go out here and get another Aaron Rodgers clone. We think he's going to come back in 2024 anyway. Maybe what we're looking for is like a Chad Henne type, someone who has, you know, who's familiar with Hackett, Nathaniel Hackett, his system. You know, Henne played with Hackett in Jacksonville, can be a good supporting quarterback behind Zach Wilson, help him prepare for games, and has some starting experience in the long run. I don't think they're out there looking for a one-season home run. I could ultimately be wrong about that, but I don't get the sense that they're out there saying, we got to go find another Aaron Rodgers for one season. That's the only thing that'll work. I don't get that at all.
I hear everything you're saying, and I think they are very good, but like I would take Jameis Winston as my starting quarterback over Zach Wilson. Tell me I'm crazy. And that's a name I'm pulling out randomly, but like I feel like there are they don't have to have a home run to upgrade on him. Maybe I'm a little down on him, but man.
The thing about Jameis is he's a turnover machine anyway. The thing that helps Jameis out the most is not playing. Like, I hate to say it, but I mean, the truth is, like, Jameis looks better when he doesn't go out there and play. He's a backup. Oh, he can throw it deep. You know, he's got this, you know, he still has talent. And then he gets out there in a four-game window, and we're like, oh, my God. Like, he's a turnover machine. His interception luck is the only thing that keeps him upright. Like, you know, I think if Jameis were plugged in New York, having you go in and adapt to that offense, have an offensive coordinator that he doesn't, you know, really have a relationship with. I mean, I think it would be a train wreck, honestly, with Jameis. I get the talent, you know, part of it, but there's a reason why Jameis is sitting in New Orleans. Why, I mean, you know, he's been through a couple of franchises now and he's not the starter. As much as I understand the reticence with Zach Wilson, and I get it, 2022 was an abysmal season for him. There's no question about that. I do think he's a little bit better than he was last season. I think that he's been reset to a point that between he and Jameis, I think you stick with Zach and you go to Zach and you say, look, here's the deal. We're not going to throw the ball with you. You know, we need you to be consistent. We need you to be patient. The one thing about the Jets, last week was the absolute worst case scenario. No one wants to give Zach Wilson any credit for the fact that he went into that game with no starting snaps during the course of the practice week, having zero idea. I know everyone says, hey, be ready. You never know when your number could be called. Come on. Like, there's no way on earth Zach Wilson thought, I'm going to end up going out there. Aaron Rodgers is going to run out with the flag. Got the whole 9/11 thing. And then I'm going to play the entire game against basically the Buffalo Bills without, you know, I prepared for it, but I really didn't prepare for it. That was the worst case scenario, I think, for Zach Wilson. And I do think when you rewatch the game, and no one's doing this, but if you watch it again, he did get more comfortable as the game ultimately wore on. I think the surrounding leaders on that team are better than they were a year ago. I just, you know, again, I think it's, now, granted, I would not, of all the teams in the NFL, I would not want him to go to face the Dallas Cowboys next week. Because
keep them out of the Meadowlands.
He's going to get destroyed. The pass rush and the multitude of ways that Zach Wilson could end up turning over the ball, the team I would least want him to face in terms of, like, pressure is the Cowboys. And then that's, ultimately what he's got on his plate. But, plugging in another guy, it's got to be better than Jameis. It really does.
Mariota. Mariota. Jeez.
I would take, you can do that. I would take Mariota. You know who else I would take? I would take Ryan Tannehill, who at one point, I think the Titans were like, hey, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't work out for you guys, this is last offseason, would you be interested in Ryan Tannehill? I would take Tannehill at this point over Jameis Winston. So honestly, they're kind of screwed with where they're at with their quarterback in this situation, unless, someone loses their mind and makes someone available and waves the white flag to their roster and offers up a better starting quarterback who's got a 1-year window at this point. But it's a rough spot to be in for the Jets, but the team around Zach Wilson, I will say, is better, and maybe over the course of an entire season that can make a difference.
We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports now here on the program. Charles, I have to tell you, as the resident Packers fan on the show, it was beautiful to watch Jordan Love go in there and destroy the hopes and dreams of the Chicago Bears on Sunday. What did you make of Jordan Love, his performance, and what that could mean for him moving forward?
From a live spot. Yeah.
Yeah, I was there. I watched it in person. I will say this for the Packers. Their defense, we were so focused on the quarterbacks, and that's typically how it goes. But that entire game, I'm like, oh, my God, the Packers defense is so good. Like, they're young. I mean, their front seven's crazy. Their linebackers are the talent and the athleticism, the speed. I mean, everything about the front end of the defense looks amazing. Jaire Alexander, them saying, hey, you're going to travel with DJ Moore and, just erase the guy and let's see what happens to the Bears offense. I mean, I think destroyed a lot of the continuity that they hope to have going into that game. I was very, very impressed with what the Packers defense ultimately looked like. I still think, though, I will say this, that's that game where I sat there and I watched it and I'm like, God, the Bears look awful. Jeez, Justin Fields is nothing that we thought he would be, coming into the season after all the hype. But then I ended up writing about this. I go back to season, week one in season, last season, 2022, and I remember the Jaguars losing to Washington and watching Carson Wentz throw 4 touchdowns and dig himself out of a hole in that game. And the Jaguars looking like the same bad team they were the year before and the struggles Lawrence had, and thinking after week one in 2022, like, geez, nothing's changed with Jacksonville, and wow, what a bunch of red flags. And by the end of the season, Carson Wentz had played himself out of the league, and Trevor Lawrence had kind of gotten himself into the track that we ultimately expected. So I don't want to go overboard about, what Jordan Love looked like, which was very good, very efficient, relaxed, calm in the pocket. I think he threw the ball away, didn't take sacks, got good protection at times. Just a very much efficient player versus Fields, who I thought just looked almost as bad as you could have expected coming out of the gate. The explosive big running plays weren't there. He couldn't throw downfield. I think more of that had to do with the Packers defense than, Fields' deficiencies. But what a great situation for the Packers. And I sat there and watched, in the tunnel, players coming off, and Brian Gutekunst, the general manager who had all the issues with Aaron Rodgers, just greeting every player and, how happy he clearly was. And then when Love came off, and him just wrapping two arms around Love and hugging him. And I remember saying to one of the Packers beat writers, I was like, that ever happened with Aaron Rodgers? Ever? he's looking at me, he's like, never. I don't ever remember him hugging Aaron Rodgers the entire time, you know, he was here. So Packers got to feel pretty good about it. Bears got to feel pretty bad. But, again, it's week one, and let's not go overboard about really almost anything we saw in week one unless it was like an injury with the Jets.
Well, week one we saw some very bad quarterback play, so I'll throw three at you, Charles.
Good segue.
Thank you. Well, you mentioned Ryan Tannehill, and it, you know, there has been some talk this week, and it's like, well, when the Titans give up on the season, if they're 1-6 at the trading deadline, then you know, then maybe you know, we'll talk about a trade. But he was it's the worst I've ever seen him play. I think it's the worst game of his career against the Saints. Joe Burrow. Awful, you know, but I think we would all probably agree, no big deal. Then your MVP favorite, Baby Hands Kenny Pickett, who was just amazing, and you think he's going to be the greatest quarterback ever, also kind of sucked. So what does that tell us, Charles?
Well, and by the way, Jalen Hurts didn't. I mean, if you watched that game, there were a lot of things to like about the Eagles that were not Jalen Hurts related. So Jalen Hurts didn't light the world on fire, you know, coming out. Dak Prescott. Despite that massive win, go back and watch the game and watch what the offense did. You're not going to sit there and go, well, geez, the offense was the word on fire. No, it wasn't. That's not at all how that won that game. And, you know, the score's a liar when you look at it. You're just doing, you know, box score scouting. You think Dak Prescott played better than he really did. You know, Josh Allen, I mean, a multitude of quarterbacks, as you said, you know, really did not have great week ones. But again, I don't trust week one, and Kenny Pickett, you know, I watched that game, and the entire time I'm thinking to myself, like, this is clearly more the 49ers than it is, like the Steelers. I don't think the Steelers. Now, losing Deontay Johnson is horrible. You don't want to take a piece off the field for the Steelers. That's instantaneously alarming, but, you know, Freiermuth wasn't used in the way that I saw in the preseason. You know, Pickens. There was so much about the Steelers that I think it was just getting busted up by a defense. I think by and large, when you looked at how week one unfolded, it's how it usually is. The defense, I think for the most part, defenses were ahead of offenses in the league. But I continue to go back to this idea that offensive lines are just out of the gate pretty bad. It takes a couple weeks before offensive lines are really getting the snaps together that make them a more cohesive unit. Some of these offensive lines that we think are bad coming out of week one, when we get to week five and they've played together for a month, they're going to start to actually look like what they could realistically be. So hard to sit there and judge a lot of these offenses right now without them having the ability to be a little more cohesive than they would be. It sucks. I mean, the preseason now, quarterbacks don't play, you know, what, a quarter of the league, eight quarterbacks didn't play in the preseason. Usually it's even more than that. Offensive lines don't get a chance to get the snap counts they really need. Everybody complains about that. It's just geared now to teams not hitting the ground running, you know, the way that they, especially offenses not hitting the ground running, maybe the way that they had in the past because everyone's so afraid of injuries. And I would say until we get to October, don't sit there and stare at a team. Unless there's a health issue, unless players are getting lost to injury for the season, don't sit there and stare at a team and think you really know exactly what they are, even the Titans.
So, Charles, last thing for you here. The Titans playing the Chargers coming up on Sunday. Chargers lose the shootout to Miami 36-34 in week one. Great game to start things off there. Brandon Staley, you know, obviously when you start to list off coaches that could be on the hot seat this year, his name comes to mind to me pretty quickly. What do you make of that situation, the pressure that's on him, and the quality of team the Chargers have this season?
Are the Chargers ever going to be good at defense? I mean, seriously, are they ever? They do. They absolutely. I mean, talent wise, across the board, they're stocked. They have a ton of individual talents. I just don't understand why Staley, in particular, given his defensive acumen with the Rams and the Bears and the Broncos, having his ties, you know, to a lot of really good defensive play callers. Vic Fangio, I mean, is like that's Vic Fangio's guy, and yet they just never can get it. Every game I watch, I'm like, they're really, you know, offensively they put it together, but defensively they can't ever become a whole. They're never the, you know, the sum of their parts. I just don't get it. So I will say this, Miami, watching that first game, watching them lose that game, Tyreek Hill, to me, I don't even know what to say anymore. I mean, he really is arguably the least guardable offensive player in the NFL. I mean, I don't know who you put on him at this point that he can't beat, and that's what he looked like against the Chargers. You could have, I don't know. I mean, Darrell Revis, we could go back and get Darrell Revis in his prime. Maybe that's a guy who you could put on Tyreek Hill and hope that he could stick with him. But, you know, still out of the gate to lose a game in that fashion and for Tua to look like a world beater, Tyreek Hill to look like a world beater, to be 0-1, it's already a must-win game, I feel like, for the Chargers. And I say that knowing, again, going back to last season, I'm going to harp on what the Jaguars did last season because they started 2-6. They were bad in week one. There were all these things that made us think this is a bad team and there's, you know, red flags and let's hit the panic button. By the end of the season, they win a playoff game and we're looking at Trevor Lawrence like, hey, he's back and, you know, the fortunes have completely reversed. Could the Chargers do that? Yeah, absolutely. I think that's still something that could happen, but I'm with you. I think Staley, to me, this is it. Like, if this is not if they miss the playoffs, I don't care if it's by one game. I think ownership's got to sit there and look at Staley and say, we got to fire him. We got to move on because we can't continue to squander a roster with this much talent and change all the pieces coaching wise, or change this piece or that piece and not change, you know, Brandon Staley at this point.
Charles Robinson, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8:30, talking all things NFL. Charles, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate you taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it. Everyone, you know, hanging with the Titans. Kicker. You got a kicker. Okay,
that's so right.
Let's start at the most basic thing. You have a kicker who can kick field goals, and I'm telling you, there are other teams in the league who would give anything to have Nick Folk at this point. So let's just start there.
Yeah.
Take a breath. Big game. You know, they win this week and we're singing a different tune. So I hope Ryan Tannehill plays better.
Voice of reason.
Yes. We'll focus on the positive. Thank you, Charles.
All right. Take care.
Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex. So we'll react to what Charles had to say there, get into the Titans and the Chargers matchup coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in to 102.5, 106.3, The Game this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores kick off at 6 o'clock on the road against UNLV with pregame beginning at 4:30. You can hear all the coverage on the 102.5 The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. Also, make sure you tuned in for the Titans home opener this weekend. It's a tailgate with us downtown. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Derek Mason at Teddy's Tavern, located across from Bridgestone Arena, this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans Week 2 matchup against the Chargers and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. Thanks to Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment. We'll have Fat Jack from Fat Jack Sports coming up at 8:45. He'll get you set for some betting lines this weekend, both in college football and the NFL as well. Bradford on the text line, Joe, says, there it is. Charles just confirmed it. Good old Tannehill going to the Jets. That's what Bradford said on the text
there,
line.
Yeah.
He did say that he would prefer Ryan Tannehill to Jameis Winston. So I guess good to know.
What
that.
A take.
Yes. Spicy take by Charles.
Around here, is that true anymore? I don't know.
I don't know. It was funny because, you know, Winston and Mariota both come up in that conversation.
Yeah.
2015 draft really wasn't that long ago. It's kind of amazing to look at where that's gone.
1-2. Well, yep. Yeah. Where did Zach Wilson go?
Number two.
He was two also,
yeah.
Wasn't he? Yeah.
He was. But. Hey, he's got the job again. Like, I do wonder. I wondered about this week. Like, their plan clearly was to have Rodgers come in and play at least the next 2 years. And they've talked about that. Rodgers has talked about that. And then hand it back off to Wilson after that. And we've talked with Charles about that. Like,
in theory,
that's the plan. I do wonder, like, how much does this change it? Like, if he comes in and he's just terrible this year, I mean, you got to move on after that, don't you? I mean, I would think. I mean, Rodgers is going to be their starter next year. I mean, Rodgers came out with his Instagram post yesterday talking about the injury and the night being darkest before the dawn, and he'll rise again. So I think he's going to try to come back and play, which is not surprising to me. But
very dramatic.
It was very dramatic. So I assume, like, their plan is to have him be the quarterback next year, and then they'll see after that. But, like, if Wilson is just dog water when he comes in this year, what do you do if you're the Jets?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think you know, you expect, you plan, you have Aaron Rodgers next year. But, yeah, I think this year, I guess this is giving them – it's one of those things where we've talked recently about some of these players, your guy in Green Bay, who – an extended period of time has meant something.
Served him well.
So, but at the same time, I mean, you're going to tell me that whatever we see from Zach Wilson on the field this year is going to be markedly different, like in 2025?
I know the interception that he threw the other night was just as terrible as a lot of the interceptions he threw last year were.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just, like everything Charles said about the Jets, I'm intrigued by that team. I think with Aaron Rodgers, I think they really were a contender. And also, I think there's a lot to be said for what they could still do, although the AFC's tough. But when your defense is that good, and Breece Hall, I mean, Breece Hall.
He looked great the other night.
He is. I'm very glad I have him in two of my three fantasy football teams. Thank you. But that's why, like, I would be out there trying to find a starter. I know what Saleh has said, and Zach's our guy, but you know what? People say a lot of things. And then they go do something else, and then just life in the NFL. I don't know what it would be. I swear to you, I'm not joking. Well, I hear what Charles is saying about Jameis Winston, okay? I do. I would prefer him over Zach Wilson. I prefer a lot over Zach Wilson. Yeah. Absolutely. You can shake your head and make fun of Mariota if you want. I would take him over Zach. You're telling me if you were the Jets right now, you'd rather have Mariota or Zach Wilson as your quarterback?
Zach Wilson.
Oh, God.
I'm 100% serious.
Such a hater.
Did you see how bad Marcus was last year?
He was actually really good at first.
Really?
Yes.
He was really good.
Did you watch the quarterback documentary?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
I highlighted how bad he was last year.
Eventually.
Yes.
Eventually. He had some great games, man. Okay. He had like a game where he had one incompletion.
He threw 13 passes.
Okay, well, he's 12 for 13.
Okay.
Better than Zach Wilson. I would absolutely, unequivocally take Marcus Mariota right now over Zach Wilson. I mean, I'd take... like Zach from, you know, that, God darn it, that show's name is eluding me. I had a great joke lined up and I screwed it up.
It's like Zach from football and other F words.
Help me. Yeah, I'll take him too. No, Zach from the stupid kid show with Screech. What the hell was that show?
I have no idea what you're talking
about. Come on.
No clue.
You do too.
I don't. I have no idea.
Mr. Belding.
Never
Zach
saw.
Morris, Saved by the Bell. Jeez. I'd take him over
too young
Zach
for that.
Wilson. You don't know Saved by the Bell?
I mean, I've seen
not even at all. Heard, like not even.
I didn't watch it, but I've heard of it. Yes.
Depressing. Okay. Also, it's more depressing than the Jets quarterback situation.
Charles called Sunday's game a must-win for the Chargers. What do you think of that? A lot of pressure on Brandon Staley.
Well, it is in terms of it is a huge game for both teams. It is a huge game for a week two game. I'm going to go through the schedule and find the stakes. How high are the stakes, you know, for like both teams in a week two game? And I'm sure there are other 0-1 against 0-1 teams. But considering the Titans, because I'm with you more over PK, I don't think that you can just live in the vacuum of this year and say, man, different roster, different year. Nah, man, your fan base is sick of this. And Gentry Estes had a great stat in his column today, you know, 22-9 in close games, whatever the margin was, from the time Tannehill took over until, you know, 10 games into last season. I mean, they won close games. What they did, they won close games. Since that Green Bay win, they are now 0-5 in those games, right?
Yeah.
So the of course, mostly what we've talked about, the stakes are huge for the Titans, but I agree. Like, I think the Staley thing could be an in-season thing if you don't figure this out. I mean, they're just way too talented. I don't think it's a mirage that they're that talented. They really are that talented.
There's only two other 0-1 matchups in the league other than Titans Chargers this week. There's okay. the Colts and the Texans, which will just be beautiful football to watch.
Yeah,
on Sunday.
That means nothing. Yep.
And then there is the Giants and the Cardinals. I would give the edge to Chargers Titans.
Yeah, I mean, again, the Cardinals are tanking it away. So, like, in terms of huge games with trying to find out how, you know, the Chiefs-Jags is a great game, right? And Dolphins-Patriots is a fascinating game for sure. You know, the Steelers, there's a ton on them at home yep. against the Browns. But, yeah, with both teams, like, you can't lose this game. This is number one in the NFL this week.
So, I mean, you're going to see – that's the thing. The
Maybe
Chargers
tie.
It is wild to me, and Charles laid it out there. But you look at the Chargers' defense. It's like, wow, they got Derwin James and Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack and all these guys out there. And then they're just getting shredded the other day. And it's not like that's the first time their defense has just had a total clunker out there. Now, I get it. They play Mahomes twice a year, and Tyreek Hill, I agree with Charles. I don't know who covers him in the league nowadays. So there are different factors, but – that defense, I've always felt like the last couple of years should be way better than it has actually been. And that's ultimately on Staley.
And by the way, he's a defensive guy. Yeah. And they've had injuries for sure.
So what we're saying is the Titans offense is getting ready to break out in a big way on Sunday.
If you're the Chargers, that's the thing. If you're the Chargers defense after that game, because I've seen something. I think it was like Derwin James had a quote this week. Just wait and watch Sunday. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he must have just watched the film of the Titans offense.
Yeah, he's like, oh, wait. It's be pretty easy this week.
I mean, talk about feeling like you're playing a different sport, going from the Dolphins to this.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Fat Jack from FatJackSports.com. We'll get his thoughts on week two of NFL action and look ahead to the college football slate this weekend as well. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5-106.3 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, helping home buyers and sellers in Tennessee for 20 years. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Fat Jack from FatJackSports.com. Jack, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. You know, we came off a week last week where I think a lot of people had some easy wins, and they had some things that got them in a little bit of trouble. You know, I always like to talk about exactly how I did last week on these different segments because nobody else does in my business at all. And everything that every client gets is posted and documented at FatJackSports.com. So if you go there, you'll see last week we won Thursday, we won Friday. We had a horrible beat. We had Texas Tech on Saturday, plus the 6.5. They give up. If you watch Scott Van Pelt's bad beat segment, it was one of the top ones where give up a meaningless pick six with under a minute to go. Texas Tech's driving to try to take the lead. They were down one, ended up losing by 8. So we lost that one, but pushed on Sunday with another kind of bad beat. Had New England outgained Philadelphia and then gave up a pick six as well. But won again Monday night. We had the under in the San Diego Padres game last night. Baseball's free, guys. So when you sign up for any package, you get bases for free. But so off to a really nice start. We had one in the preseason, one in week zero, one in week one, a small winning week if you played everything. By the way, UFC 4-1 last week, so that went well also. But so heading the right direction, but ready for that big week. You know, you're looking for that 9-2 week. We won Monday, so hopefully that is this week. But everybody's off to a good start and ready to make some money at FatJackSports.com with week two of the NFL season upon us.
Well, Jack, and that begins tonight. Minnesota taking on Philadelphia, Thursday night football. What do you think of that matchup?
Yeah, so the individual primetime games have been pretty consistent to this point. You know, you always want to – we talked about this before. With all the new money coming into the market, you want to think underdogs. You want to think under. And under's been a real easy play. We were under last Thursday. We were under Friday. We were under Sunday night. We were under Monday. So it's, and they've all won. Everything's gone under for different reasons. I think this might be the one that actually gets over the total. You've got two teams that Philadelphia is not going to be able to run the ball as effectively as they'd like to, in my opinion. They're a power running game first, and I don't think that's going to work that well against Minnesota. They're one of the few teams in the league that their blitz numbers have gone up with their change of philosophy and defense, and I expect them to put a lot of pressure, a lot of guys in the box, which will force Philadelphia to throw the ball. That's fine. They can throw the ball. They just would prefer to run it first. And Minnesota almost can't run it at all right now. I had Tampa Bay last week plus a six. That was one of our selections, and that was an easy win. But Minnesota can throw the ball. Minnesota also, seven of their last nine games have gone over the total, so I would look over the total tonight with Minnesota Philly.
So on the college front, Jack, looking at Tennessee Florida, I'm just looking at that game, and it's, you know, Tennessee, I think right now I'm seeing a minus 6.5 for the Vols. Obviously high interest around here for that game, but just Tennessee very clunky so far. Florida not very good, but they're at a place where they never lose that game to Tennessee. How do you assess that one?
Yeah, you know, I've been going on in Knoxville for the better part of 15 years. My son, who's on Wall Street now, one of the first markets outside of Oklahoma I took him to was Knoxville. And went on with those. He was, I think, in the third grade or something. So I've been going on with him a long time. I've seen the progression of the Vols, all the way from super fat, drunk guys in the stands in their overalls that are mad the minute the ball snapped. I went to the Vanderbilt game, and literally it was three and out, and they're throwing their popcorn and throwing their – so mad. And all the way to what Josh Heupel's done with them over the last couple of years. And by the way, I knew Josh Heupel a little bit from his days in Oklahoma. And this dude is an amazing guy, a strong Christian, a great recruiter, and a really good offensive mind. So it's not surprising at all that they have made that turn and gone the right direction. But to your point, they've been clunky. This has not been a team where last year you could auto-bet over in the first quarter, could auto-bet Tennessee in the first quarter, and most of the time they were going to win. You were going to win because they were getting it done early. Obviously, the play at quarterback has not been what they saw last year with Hooker, but I do think that's going to come along. If you believe in Josh Heupel, then you believe they will get better throughout the year. And thankfully, their schedule's been such they could show up clunky. I actually like Tennessee, or minus the points. Florida, to me, is a little bit of a sham. They also, people forgot, you know, they went to Utah early in the year when they played Florida. They lost their quarterback, too. It's not like their quarterback's actually acting like he's in middle school in the NFL right now for Indy. And running the ball, you know, every single down like he's the best athlete on the field, and he's going to get carted off if he's not careful and not come back. But I think the right side's favorite here. I think Florida and Tennessee in very similar spots, replacing a lot of key components. But and the only side of that is in recent history, Florida's owned the series. You said Florida 5-0 against the spread, or excuse me, 5-0 straight up their last five against Tennessee. But I think the right team's favorite here. I expect things to click in with these next couple weeks with the Vols. I would lay the 6.5 and play Tennessee.
Fat Jack from FatJackSports.com with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. Jack, great stuff as always. Tell us about FatJackSports.com, and looking forward to talking to you next week.
Yeah, you know, last week I gave you guys divisional underdogs that we're going to, generally speaking, the NFL cover. They went 5-2 again after hitting about 72%. This week, look for 0-1 teams versus 1-0 teams. They typically do really well, 0-1 teams, covering about 20 times more than the 0-1 teams since 2010. So look that, generally speaking. But more importantly, go to FatJackSports.com. I've been doing this for 27 years. Everybody gets the same plays. They're texted to your cell phone. They're emailed to you. It's very inexpensive to win when you sign up long-term, and you don't have to guess whether you're getting the best plays. There's no underdog locks in the millennium, no callbacks, no salesmen of any kind. I'm sitting in Las Vegas right now looking out of the wind and getting ready to place all my bets for the week, and already have placed a lot. You get those exact games text and email to you. Go to FatJackSports.com. Get signed up, $169 everything through Monday, or $299 get you everything through the month of September. Consistent winning selections that will turn a profit for you. FatJackSports.com. Sign up today and win this weekend.
Absolutely. Jack, looking forward to talking to you next week. Thanks, my man.
All right, have a great weekend, guys. See you soon.
Absolutely. Check out FatJackSports.com. Week three of college football, week two of some NFL football, starting tonight with Minnesota and Philadelphia. Joe, we're going to break down heavily tomorrow the Titans and the Chargers matchup. Look at Tennessee and Florida as well. Vanderbilt on the road this weekend, taking on UNLV. But
very important week.
It's a very important week, and you know, a lot of quarterback discussion, particularly with Tennessee and with the Titans on Sunday. Going to be a lot of quarterback discussion coming up next week with Joe Milton and Ryan Tannehill and how they respond to, in different cases, but subpar games from both of them.
How about fourth round, 2024, Titans take Joe Milton. Just keep going, you know, third round,
circle,
second round,
cycle
fourth
one back.
Round. Yeah. Or I guess you keep could going go up round. And go first round, Joe Milton.
Maybe.
Right now, he does not look like a first round pick.
He does not.
But it is very early.
It is very early and a big opportunity for him on Saturday in the Swamp to respond and for that offense to look better. And obviously on Sunday, big opportunity, big game for the Titans at home at Nissan Stadium. That does it for us today here on the program. We will be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.